Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Harvest Church at Home. I'm so glad that you've tuned in with us today. So glad to be able to come into your homes and share from the Word of God today. It's such a privilege. And I'm excited to let you know that our campus is going to be opening next Sunday, November 1st at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. So we're going to be looking forward to seeing you 1 week from today, just 7 days away. So beginning this Wednesday, October 28th at noon, you'll be able to register online at goharvest.org, and you'll be able to get a seat online so that we'll have a place for you when you arrive on campus. And of course, we'll continue to live stream our services at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock as well. So we'll be meeting on campus and we'll be meeting online both, and that's how it'll be as we go forward. But however you connect with us, we're so glad that you're here today. I also want to just thank you for your generosity and giving week after week. You've heard me talk about this, but everybody, I want you to know how blessed we are by your faithfulness in giving. You have stepped up to the plate. You continue to step up to the plate. You continue to put the Lord first in your living and in your giving, and I just bless you in this. The Bible says this, remember this, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but he who sows generously or bountifully will reap generously. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what kind of a giver? He loves a cheerful giver. So every time that we give to the Lord, you got to have a smile on your face as well. And then watch what happens. God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So when we give to the Lord, God says this, I'm going to bless you back in such a way that you'll always have all sufficiency in all things and an abundance for every good work. So thank God. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I helped somebody out and I helped him out with around $100, whatever it was. And what happened was about 2 days later, I got a notification from my insurance company that there was an overpayment on my bill. And they sent me a check in the mail that was over 10 times the amount that I gave away. Thank God. It was an overpayment, but man, I'll tell you what, it turned out to be just a blessing in disguise. In other words, God will bless you in ways that you didn't even expect when you're generous with the Lord. And thank you for just being so terribly generous. That doesn't sound right, terribly generous, but thank you. Thank you for being generous to the Lord. God bless you. Hey, now let's get into the Word of God, all right? And the title of my message today is What to Recall When Life Throws You a Curve. In other words, when life throws you a curve, instead of complaining, you need to start recalling what God has done for you, and it'll give you hope. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations. Now, I think you can look up Lamentations on your phone pretty quick by just, you know, hitting the... But if you're looking in your Bible, Lamentations is right there, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Lamentations. And you'll find it in there. I mean, trust me, it's there. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21 says this. This is prophet Jeremiah writing. He says, but this I recall, therefore I have hope. Now remember, we're talking about what to recall when life throws you a curve. And now Jeremiah writes, but this I recall, therefore I have hope. In other words, if you will recall some things about God and about his word, it's going to give you hope. And here's what he recalled. He said this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. How many know that we serve a faithful God and he has new mercies every day? I always used to say new morning, new mercies, because his mercies are brand new every morning and his faithfulness is great. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. So again, we're talking today about what to recall when life throws you a curve. And I'll tell you what, life will throw you a curve every now and then. Now, a curveball for you baseball fans, a curveball is so hard to hit because it changes direction at the last moment. In other words, it changes direction. They call it, it breaks. So you've got that ball coming straight at you, then all of a sudden, because of the aerodynamics on the ball, it just breaks and it goes down like this, and it catches you off guard. And it happens right at the last moment. And life is much the same way when you think about it, right? Just when we think we might have the trajectory of life figured out, all of a sudden, things change in our life. I can tell you this, the only thing you can count on in life is change. It's going to happen. And sometimes it's like a curveball. It catches you off guard. By the way, if we're talking about baseball right now, a California team is in the World Series. So I'm hoping for the Dodgers to win it all right? So I've been a fan of the Dodgers all the way back to Sandy Koufax. I mean, my default team right now is the Giants here in California. But now that the Dodgers are in, I want the Dodgers to win. That rhymed, by the way. Now, I know that I'm making all of the Giants and the A's fans and the Padres and the Angels fans, you know, kind of upset right now. But hey, we've got a California team in the World Series. Let's kind of egg them on and hope that they'll win, all right? So I'm hoping that the Dodgers take it all of the way. All right, now let's get back to the message. What to recall when life throws you a curve? You know, about 10 years ago, just before my daughter Ashley got married, well, we decided to go on a one-week trip to France as a father-daughter trip. And my daughter was working for the airlines at that time, so we could go overseas for next to nothing. It only cost a couple of $100 for both of us to go. It was just really a treat. She doesn't work for the airlines anymore. I wish she did. But anyway, we were able to go over to Paris. So what was to have been just a five-day quick trip over and back turned into something more. Because just 2 days after our arrival in the beautiful city of Paris, we learned that a volcano in Iceland had erupted and was spewing ash into the atmosphere over Europe, and pretty soon every airport in Europe had closed. It had closed. So our airport was packed with thousands of people with no place to go. We were stuck. And so we were out of time, we were out of money, we were out of laundry, and we were out of options. And it really mattered little that we were near one of the most beautiful cities in the world, Paris. We just wanted to get home. In other words, we just were going to be there for a few days of touring, but then this volcanic eruption took place in Iceland, covered the whole, all of Europe with this cloud of ash, and the airplanes couldn't fly into it. And so we were stuck in Paris. Now you might think, well, it's great to be stuck in Paris, but no, we were out at the airport by Paris, you know, Charles de Gaulle Airport. We were just waiting to try to find a plane. And believe me, there's nothing interesting out by that airport. We were by a tiny little hotel. We were staying in a tiny little hotel in a little village. And I'm just telling you, I was doing our laundry in the bathtub. As we waited day after day after day, we were stranded by the airport just waiting for a plane to fly back to the United States. And one day I said to Ashley, while we were going through the situation, I said, this reminds me of an old island song. It goes like this, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know where I'm gonna go when the volcano blow. Well, it goes, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know where I'm gonna go when the volcano blow. Well, you know, that's an old song. It's probably made famous by Jimmy Buffett or something like that. But honestly, the volcano blew and we were stranded. And finally, to make a long story short, after nearly a week of being stranded, we were able to fly home. Thank God. I'll tell you a little bit more about that when we get to the end of the message, all right? But that seemed like a big deal at the time, but now I realize it wasn't a very big deal at all. Because 8 months ago, we had another kind of volcano blow here in America and all around the world, and I'll call it a volcano that's called the pandemic. And it changed life as we knew it all over the world. In fact, it was more than a curveball. It was a fastball right to the head. I mean, it's just kind of knocked us out. Like, what in the world happened to the life that we used to know? So I remember being here at Harvest Church back in March, beginning the month of March, earlier this year, and I didn't even know what a coronavirus was, nor could I even pronounce it correctly on the first Sunday. Coronavirus, and I, you know, but now we all know what a coronavirus is. I didn't know what COVID-19 was. What is COVID-19? Well, COVID has to do with the coronavirus disease, and 19 has to do with the year that it was discovered, 2019, at the end of the year. Now, the 19 could also be have to do with the 19 pounds that we all gained when we were in sheltering in, right? gaining that weight. But anyway, so we know what coronavirus is. We know what COVID-19 is. But then our life changed even further. And just a few weeks later, we all understood what it was to mask or to wear a face mask. And we all understood social distancing to keep at least 6 feet apart. And then hand washing frequently throughout the day. And I practice those kinds of things every single day. In fact, here's a face mask, one of many that I have. And so you put on your face mask. See, it goes on just like that. You've been doing it all this time. Every time I go out to a business, I put on a face mask. Every time that I go to go shopping, I put on a face mask. And I do it for my own protection, but I also do it for the protection of others so that the aerosolization of my own breath coming out doesn't get anywhere and cause any germs to spread. But I got to tell you, I'm tired of wearing a face mask. I don't like it. I didn't like it from the beginning, and I really don't like it now. In fact, most of America, and I suppose most of the world, but I can tell you this, most of America is pretty tired and worn out. They don't want to wear these face masks anymore. They're no fun. This is our new reality right now. Face mask, social distancing, washing our hands, and, you know, avoiding kinds of various group gatherings and things like that. So, you know, I'm going to continue to wear our face mask, and I'm going to continue to social distance, and I'm going to continue to wash my hands frequently until we get through this, and God's going to see us all through to a better day. But I am tired of it, and America's tired of it as well. And if you watch the news especially, which I really don't recommend that you watch the news, but I have to watch it because I'm your shepherd and I'm your pastor, and I'm trying to look out for what's best, you know, and try to make decisions that we make with as much wisdom as we possibly can. But right now in America, there's a high level of fear, anxiety, and depression that's taking place at record levels. In fact, the doctors have said that right now, just depression and anxiety alone have just shot way up. And even searches on the internet right now, they said that searches for help with fear, depression, and anxiety have gone up by 870%. I mean, that's crazy. So we know that right now there's kind of a heaviness or kind of a cloud in this uncertainty that we've got about what's going to take place and what's happening. And so it's like a major curveball has been thrown our way. In other words, we thought we were tracking, we thought we kind of had figured out life, but no, all of a sudden it changed on us just like that. Well, when change comes like it's come to us, we need to start recalling what God has done in our lives. So I want to just kind of share just right now what to recall when life throws you a curve. Because I want you to know this, the more that you recall, the more hope that you'll have, all right? So the more that you recall about God and about Scripture, the more hope you're going to have. So that word recall, by the way, means remember. So remember what God has done for you. And I'm just going to give you some points right now, things that we need to remember. I think things that you already know, but things that we need to recall because they're already on the inside of us, but we need to recall them anyway, and they'll encourage us, all right? First of all, remember that curveballs are a part of life. They really are. You can't go through life without getting hit by a curveball. In fact, Jesus said this, "I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, you'll have trials, and you'll have troubles, and you'll have sorrows." But he said this, "But take heart, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." And I want to tell you here this morning, friends, that if Jesus has overcome the world, he's going to help you overcome the world and the things that you're facing. So be encouraged in the Lord today. When you know this, when you recall it to mind, it gives you hope. And by the way, we don't know what a day is going to bring. The Bible says don't even boast about tomorrow, like I'm going to do this and do that and go here and go there. Well, hey, you don't even know what a day will bring. That's what the Word of God says this. So I'll tell you what, the one thing that we know is this, is that God's going to be faithful. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and he's going to see us through. Hallelujah. So be encouraged, all right? Second thing is this, remember that you're not alone. You're not alone because God has promised to be with you. God is with you. Say it with me, I'm not alone. God is with me. Do you know, you can feel alone, but you're not alone. God's Spirit is with you wherever you go. In fact, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, it says this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Your God is going to be with you wherever you go. And I'm talking about, sometimes we go like wherever we go, down a street or to this location or whatever, but I'm talking about through the seasons of life and the trials of life. Do you realize there hasn't been a pandemic in over 100 years, but God knew we were going to be here at this time in history. I sometimes wake up and say, man, this just feels so surreal, everything that we're going through right now. But I want to tell you this, God is with you wherever you go. He's with you right now. And no matter how long this takes to get, you know, to disperse and to be, we're finally through it. I'm telling you this, every step of the way, God is going to be with you for whatever you're going through. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, not only do we need God to be with us, but we need people to be with us as well. And we need to be with people as well as, you know, as much as we can during this time. That's why our life group ministry is so important. Our life groups usually meet at the beginning of each month. By meeting now, we're not able to meet on campus, but we've been meeting online through things like Zoom and people calling each other and trying to stay as connected as you can. You know, I've talked to lots of people on the phone and been able to encourage a lot of people on the phone. We've just got to do the best that we can. If we can't be together in flesh, we can be together in spirit, right? If we can't be together on campus, we can be together online. But hey, don't disconnect from God and don't disconnect from people, because we need both. We need God in our lives. We need people in our lives. Hallelujah. So stay in touch with your life group members. If you're part of a life group, stay in touch. In fact, we've even been able to get together on Zoom. You know, so many people are getting, you know, learning to use Zoom. And I was just thinking we should call our life group Zoom groups now. That would be good. So for all of you Zoom groupers, hey, God bless you. Keep on connecting, all right? Okay, here's a third thing that we need to recall. Remember that God will give you perfect peace in the midst of your trial, whatever you might be going. Now, perfect peace, we're talking about Shalom. That's how you say peace. So Isaiah 26:3 says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Listen to me today. If you trust in the Lord, God says, if you'll just trust in me, I'm going to keep you in perfect peace. I think it's when we get our minds and our thoughts off of God, that's when our trust level goes down and the fear level goes up. But if we keep our minds stayed on the Lord, then our trust in him will give us the perfect peace that he has for each one of us, and the fears will just be go away in the name of Jesus. Now that word peace, you can say it, peace means shalom, and is in Israel we say shalom, but the Hebrew here of this word peace means shalom, shalom. It's kind of a double portion peace, shalom, shalom. This is the highest level of peace, which means a peace that really is peace. In other words, we're not just saying a word here. We've got the peace of God that passes all understanding and is ruling in our hearts. God says this, if you'll keep your mind stayed on me, if you'll trust in me, I'm not only going to give you a singular peace, I'm going to give you peace, peace. In other words, a double portion of his peace, and you're going to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. You know, the world wants to give you a pill to calm your anxieties, but God wants to give you a peace that passes all understanding. I'd recommend that you take God's peace rather than taking the world's pill. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, here's the fourth thing you need to recall. First, remember to encourage others who are going through their own trials. You know, any time that I feel bad about my own circumstances, I don't have to look very far to see others who have problems that are much more severe than mine. Sometimes I'll be driving down a road and I'll just be feeling so bad about whatever I'm going through, you know, whatever is getting to me emotionally or whatever. And then I'll look over and as I'm driving, I'll see somebody going down a sidewalk, maybe in an electric wheelchair. You know, they can't even move their limbs and they can't move their legs. And you've seen people that, you know, that are confined to a wheelchair. And then all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm complaining about the wrong thing. That person over there would trade all of the troubles that you have just to have your troubles. They'd trade what they have for your troubles. If they say, hey, you want to trade places with me? I'll trade places with you right now. So it's a good thing when you're going through your own trials to remember that other people are going through trials as well, and some of them way more deeply than you would ever even imagine. So one of the best things that you can do for people when you've been hit by a curveball is to encourage them, all right? So the Bible says this, encourage one another and build one another up. Encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing. Here's what I want you to know. I already know that you're encouraging people. Keep it up. Keep on smiling. Keep on encouraging people. Give them a good word. Give them a compliment. But people need encouragement today as never before. Remember this, a critical word will cut people down, but an encouraging word will always lift people up. You got to ask yourself the question, do you want to cut people down? Easy to do, but an encouraging word will lift them up. Let's speak encouraging words of life that'll lift people up. All right, now here's the fifth thing, and I've only got just four more to go, and that's it. Then we're going to wrap it up. The fifth thing we need to remember is to remember to be on your guard against greed and instead be content, all right? Just to be content. In fact, Jesus said, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Many times we look, you know, during this time, especially at what people have and how they're doing and all of this, and sometimes we can get jealous of what, you know, they have and what we don't have. But God says this, I don't want you to be that way. I don't want you to be covetous. I don't want you to be wanting what somebody else has. Just, I want you to rest in me and to be content. In fact, Paul said this to young Timothy. He said, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world and we're not going to take anything out of this world. We brought nothing into this world. We're not going to take anything out. In other words, he could say, you know, I've heard it said, you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. In other words, you can't take it with you. You're going to leave everything behind. So don't get attached to things. Get attached to God. In fact, Paul said this, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. You know, during this pandemic, we've certainly learned about what's important in life and what isn't important. But I'm just telling you right now, you value things that you didn't even think that you would value anymore. Simple things in life. Like, for instance, I'm happy if I can get Bounty towels. You know what I'm saying? Paper towels. And I get tired when I buy those cheap ones that, you know, they had just left over. And they're so thin when you pull them out, you're just hoping to get rid of them and get the Bounties again, right? And I'm speaking like a paper towel specialist right now. And then to get the little bucket there, a little container of Clorox or Lysol wipes, I can't find those things anywhere. But those things are important to me right now. And then also toilet paper, of course. The toilet paper supply chain has been resupplied, so we're in good shape there. But the Bible is just saying, live your life with contentment. Hallelujah. Whatever state you might be in, whatever's going on in your life, be content. Remember these things, and then you'll be encouraged. Thank you, Lord God. I'm going to be in content. What are we doing right now? We're recalling what's in Scripture and what God is doing in our lives, what God says, and then it gives us hope. Hallelujah. When we're going through this tough time, we just recall all of these things, and then it gives us hope. Hallelujah. I don't have to be kind of wondering what everybody else has. I thank you, Lord God, that I can be content in you. Even though you're watching over the sparrows of the earth, the birds of the air, and the flowers of the field, you're going to take care of my life as well. Thank you, Lord God. Now, the sixth thing right now is this, is remember that even though you've been struck down, you're not destroyed. Life can sometimes get to be so difficult that you feel like you're honestly struck down. But remember this, you might be struck down, but you're not destroyed. You know, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul for a moment today, and I remember there was a time that the Apostle Paul was preaching, and his life, by the way, was an adventure. But one time, he was actually overcome and stoned, you know, by his critics. The Jews had just gathered a multitude of people together as he was preaching in this town called Lystra. You'll find this in Acts chapter 14, verse 19. But anyway, they stoned him until he was unconscious, and then they dragged his body outside of the city and just left him there for dead. And, you know, they thought that he was dead. But finally, his disciples gathered around him. And when they gathered around him, all of a sudden, Paul moved and he got up, came back to life, and he dusted himself off and went right back into Lystra and continued ministry again. And then the next day he went to a town called Derbe. When I think the Apostle Paul, I think of Indiana Jones, right? I mean, honestly, he would just get knocked down, but he'd keep on getting up and keep on going, right? But the Apostle Paul would go on to write, he says this, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." What treasure? Let me tell you what the treasure is. "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not us." In other words, he said, "I'm just jars of clay. That's all I am, is a jar of clay. I'm an earthen vessel." In other words, we return to dust, right? But he says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power, the excellency of the power of God might be in us." Thank you, Lord God. So, and then he went on to say this, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed." Thank you, Lord God. There are days when you might feel like, man, I just feel like giving up. I feel like I'm just as low as I've ever been. I feel like just like I have no energy left. The get-go is gone and left. But I'm telling you right now, you may have been struck down, but you're not destroyed. If you're listening to this message today, you haven't been destroyed. God is going to restore your strength, and God is going to bring you forward and move you forward into a better day. Hallelujah. That's encouraging to me, and I want it to be encouraging to you too. Man, he said, man, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed. We're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're not abandoned, and we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Hallelujah. Then the seventh thing, I've only got two more things to share with you this morning. The seventh thing is this, remember that there's an upside to every downside. An upside to every downside. And James said this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Really? Count it all joy? "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Now, I want to just say something to you right now. In life, you're going to be tested by the circumstances of life. There will be a test. And so I heard somebody say on the radio the other day, and they just knew, you know, they'd seen it in scripture, but it was actually a pretty famous person that was talking about it. And this person said, "I just know that when I'm going through the most difficult seasons of life, I'm being tested, but I'm going to pass the test. God is allowing me to go through this test." But when you are going through tough times, I just want you to say this, "This is a test. This is only a test, all right? And I'm going to pass this test." Amen? Now watch what happens. James chapter 1 and verse 4 says this, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Hallelujah. While you are waiting, while you are hurting, let me tell you this, God is working in your life, and he's making you stronger than you've ever been, and he's going to make you ready for anything. You're going to be lacking nothing. Hallelujah. And now the eighth thing is this, remember that God will always be faithful to you. He'll always be faithful to you. Man, I'll tell you what, "Great is thy faithfulness, Lord God, to me." And God, you've been so faithful. And I know that God has been faithful to you as well. When you look back and you just kind of recount and recall what God has done in your life, you can say, you know what, we've been through a lot, but the fact that I'm here today, still standing, is a testimony to God's faithfulness in my life. Hey, you remember the story that I told you at the beginning about Ashley and I going over to Paris, and we're going on a father-daughter trip together on the airline that she worked with? And after just a couple of days of being there, a volcano blew up in Iceland and filled the air with ash, and all of the airports were closed, and we were stranded. Well, we waited for over a week. We only toured for a couple of days, and then we were at the airport for the whole other time in a tiny little hotel room, washing our clothes in the bathtub and just waiting, like, what's going to happen day after day after day with thousands of other people. And you know what? God opened a door so that we could get on an airplane, and we stood in line for hours and hours and finally got up to the gate, finally got to the bus that took us to the airplane, and I'm talking about to the big jet airliner, and we get on it, and they had run out of seats in coach, and they only had seats in first class. And guess what? We got two seats in first class, and I'm not talking about seats, I'm talking about beds. They put us in those nice little sectional beds there, and I'm just telling you, we were able to lay down and sleep all the way back to Los Angeles. God was not only faithful, he gave us great favor on the way home. And I want to just say this, if you will hold fast during the tough times of life, hold fast during this pandemic and everything where everyone's just tired, hey everyone, we're going to pass the test. When there's a curveball thrown into our life, we're not going to complain, but rather we're going to recall what God has already done for us and recall what Scripture has, and then we're going to have hope in the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's kind of end where we began today, all right? Again, the prophet Jeremiah wrote this in Lamentations, and he said this, "But this I recall, therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Hallelujah. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Hallelujah. And God, everyone, is going to see you through because he's a faithful God. And not only is he going to be faithful, but he's also going to give you favor and a blessing as well. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord God, that when life is trying to throw us a curve, Lord, I thank you right now that there's many things that we can recall. Lord, we can recall your word and we can recall your nature, that you are a faithful God, that you're watching over our lives. So I thank you, Lord God. I just pray right now that every person watching today will be encouraged in you because you're going to see them through. And I pray these things right now in the mighty name of God. Hallelujah. Just pray this with me right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you right now that you're with me, that you'll never leave me or forsake me, and that, Lord God, you're going to see me through to a better day. And I put all of my trust in you. And because I put all of my trust in you, I thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding that's going to rule in my heart. And I pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, if you're watching today and you might be just tuning in and go like, "What's this all about?" And you say, "Man, I just know that my heart is not right with God. Would you just pray with me? I want to come back to God, or I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." The Bible says in John 3:16, "God so loved the world," and that means you. God so loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of your sins and mine, and whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting eternal life. So if you want to just receive Christ as your Savior, pray this prayer with me. I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. Pray this prayer with me and let it be from your heart, not just your head. And Jesus will come into your life. He'll make you a brand new creation. And he will save you. Hallelujah. You'll be born again. And so just pray this with me right now. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me, and I thank you that you died on the cross for me. And right now, I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. Forgive me for all of my sins and give me a new life today. With my mouth, I now confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, Lord Jesus, I believe on you now, and I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. And I pray in your holy name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. If you pray that, hallelujah, right now, you are saved. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're part of the family of God. You're a brand new creation, and you have a reservation made in heaven. Praise God. Now I want you to just get involved in a local church and tell somebody else that you received Christ. Read your Bible and really, week after week, plug into a local church, either on campus or online. But especially when we're able to come back on campus for good, man, make sure that you're in church every weekend just to, you know, get together with God's people and grow in the things of the Lord. God bless you. So I want to just leave you today, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in. I want to leave you with a blessing today. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord smile on you and may the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Well, I want to thank you again for joining us for Harvest Church at Home. And we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday, November 1st at 9 and 11, when we meet again on campus at 9 and 11 and online at the same time. So I'm looking to seeing many of you there, and we're going to worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth. So God bless you. Look forward to seeing you next week. And in the meantime, I pray that the Lord will bless your week and bless all that you do. God bless you.